Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, Episode 5, Winter Ale. We ask that you respect the laws, drink responsibly, and never operate heavy machinery under the influence of your spirited spirits. I'm your host, Derek Schomer. Our panel of drinkers today includes Dave and Doug. We're still missing Kate. Maybe she'll jump in later and we can get her opinions on some winter ales, because it sucks when she's not here. I already feel lonely. So this week I'm going to do Sam Smith Winter Welcome, which is okay, except for somebody's doing that one in like a ton of others, so I feel like a slacker, because I don't have the potential. But
well, it seems that one of our members here has decided to go, what's the word, overboard? I'm doing something really generic. I'm doing Sam Adams Winter Ale.
Sam Adams Winter Ale. I had one of those once. I think it was the last time we tried to record this. It wasn't so good, though, because mine was 3 years old, and three-year-old Sam Adams, it's just not the same.
Yeah, beer doesn't age quite in the same way that wine does.
No, it was very bad. Well, it tasted okay. It was a little alcohol-y, which I thought was normal since it's a winter ale. But when I lifted it up to see that nice amber color and it was just full of sediment, I thought to myself, this isn't right. It looked like ginger ale. You know how when you have ginger ale, it has so much bubbles in it, you can barely see through it? You know, when you first pour it? You know what I'm saying? You know? Yeah, well, it did. It was like that. It was just, it didn't seem right. And then I noticed it wasn't bubbles. It was actually sediment. And that was bad.
Yeah, so quit aging the beer.
Don't age your beer.
Do not age the beer.
The only other solution to not aging beer is the way that Doug manages to keep his liquor around. He drinks it all in one night. Doug, what are you drinking?
Everything.
Yeah, you seem to have a list here.
I went to the local wine and beer shop. In the event you are near a Total Wine, they have them all over North Carolina. Great place to get wine and beer. I picked up a mix pack of Sam Smith Winter Welcome, the Blue Moon Full Moon Winter Ale, the Duck Rabbit Baltic Porter, Brooklyn Winter Ale, the Harpoon Winter Warmer, and the Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale. And a six pack of Turbo Dog, because if you listen to our Brown Ale episode, best fucking brown ale you can get.
So
he doesn't have a problem.
So wait a minute. You bought all these winter ales for this podcast, and if that doesn't do it, you've got the Turbo Dog to back you up.
You know it.
Because winter ales have a lot of alcohol.
He's also got four lines of Coke laying next to him.
On a stripper.
Where at on the stripper?
On her arse.
There you go.
Yeah, I know. I'm awesome. So you eclipsed my solution here of picking a high-end drink and just bought one, but you bought a ton of other ones, and it still came to about the same price as mine. We'll talk more about price later, I guess. Oh, one thing I did want to mention, he was one of my friends, actually, who listens to this podcast. He wrote in, and he was watching...
Wait, you have friends?
Yeah, one.
Right, one of my friends.
Well, when I said one of my friends, I really meant one of my friends. It was just the one.
I like you.
Oh, that's true, but you're related, so you don't have a choice. So
I have a choice.
And your mom pays me, so.
Right. So, wait. there's an
really? I thought his wife did.
That was cloaked in insult. I can tell. So, Don wrote in, and he was watching... You guys ever watch Modern Marvels on the History Channel?
Yeah.
So he was watching one of the alcohol podcasts. Yeah, that's us. One of the alcohol sections or alcohol shows, and they had, you know, they have the little facts at the commercials. They come up and say something about whatever it is you're watching, trivia, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It says they define proof. The word proof, you know, you have 70 proof or 30 proof or 10 proof or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Proof, as in this whiskey is 100 proof, comes from the days when alcohol content was tested by mixing it, usually whiskey, with gunpowder and lighting it. If the gunpowder flashed, the alcohol content was proved to be high enough. Isn't that cool?
No kidding. Yeah, that is cool.
So, like, if you had something and it exploded, then you're like, yeah, cool, drink it. That's a really screwed up way of... People got more intelligent as time goes on, I think. Not much.
And kept their eyebrows longer.
This is true, because I don't know how you go about sparking the gunpowder... And why one would do such a thing, but I guess the way we do it now is better. Now what we do is we put the shot in a glass and light it on fire and drink it. See, it's much more intelligent the way we do things nowadays.
I got a pretty bad burn from doing that once. So.
Yeah, yeah, don't do that. Doug has too.
No, don't,
I didn't
don't
like splash it on my face or anything. Somebody, pretty much the bartender poured it on my hand and set it aflame.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I forget which episode that came in.
One.
Totally talked about it.
That was episode 407, I believe.
Yeah, maybe. 407. 407.
No. I heard that you can tell the quality of moonshine by if you light it, you look at how blue the flame is.
Really?
Yeah, the bluer the flame, the higher the alcohol content, the smoother it is.
I guess that kind of makes sense. I mean, when you're kind of getting into it to that level, because I also believe there's something to do with the bubbles too. If you hit the glass and a certain amount of bubbles come up, it's supposed to have something to do with the alcohol content. I haven't looked into that though.
I wonder if you could do it based on the specific gravity of it.
Because it weighs more or less?
Actually.
What does it weigh? So if you put it in a bottle.
That's how you get, like, you know those striated shots and stuff that you get, that, you know, like a tequila sunrise or whatever, where the different layers of alcohol, it has to do with specific gravity, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if that could also be an indicator of how much alcohol something has.
Well, technically, yes. Specific gravity will give you your alcohol content. However, the liquid that you are using to turn into alcohol needs to be measured for its gravity prior to the fermentation process and then after the fermentation process, or at least in beer. And then it's a formula to give you your alcohol content based on your starting gravity and your ending gravity.
All right, so we'll just light it. It's easier.
So what the hell is all that? You know all that? Dude.
Yeah, that's how I... It's
kind of like Rain Man with alcohol.
That's how you
alcohol
roll.
Alcohol content when I brewed beer.
Oh.
Yeah, it's definitely a specific gravity. Yeah.
definitely specific gravity.
Did you brew any winter ales?
No, I did not. I'm personally a purist when it comes to beer. I don't like doing weird things like... Anytime you get into the seasonal beers, they put weird fucking adjuncts in it, and it just makes beer taste weird.
Yeah, I'm noticing that a lot of the winter ales that I've had just taste like potpourri.
Well, yeah they're a little spicy.
Way too much stuff in it.
Some of them can be spicy. I don't think you get that with the Sam Adams or Sam Smith, but I think some of the smaller breweries seem to do that, because they think for some reason that winter symbolizes the holidays, or Christmas mainly. And Christmas, you get sugar cookies, cinnamons, and all these different spices. And for some reason, that is how you should recognize a winter ale.
Yeah, let's put some nutmeg in it. That'll taste great.
But there's a difference between like a little bit of flavor and something that reaches up and bitch slaps you when you drink it.
Or Jesus. Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, I just popped open a new one and I took a whiff. I was like, "Oh Jesus!"
You know what though? If your beer cock slaps you, then you need to get a new beer.
I don't know.
I think you're trying
too
hard.
I had to use it.
Well, I mean, for example, one of the ones that you're drinking, Doug, is Harpoon Winter Warmer, and that one is one that I've had before, and it tastes like potpourri smells. I just can't do it.
Well,
oh yeah, actually, we'll get into all mine eventually.
All right, hold on a second.
I'm actually, every time I bust one open and drink it, I'm taking notes for myself so I can go through all these damn beers.
Hey, Doug, do you know about winter ales specifically? Like, since you've brewed them, do you know what goes into them? Or, like, I did some research here to figure it out, but I don't know if you had first-hand experience.
No, actually, I had not tried to brew any seasonal type of beer. Again, purist. I'll make a pale ale. I'll make a porter. I'll make a a stout. You know,
but there's not
a lager yet.
But there's not the thing with let's call it a proper winter ale. There's nothing that actually says you have to spice it and do funny things to it. I mean. Realistically, a winter ale or a winter warmer, if you're in England, I think we use it here too, I believe, but there's multiple ways you can call something from the winter. It's a seasonal, but it doesn't have to. I mean, it could be its own style of, or type of beer too. I mean, all it really means is it's got a lot of alcohol. So an Oktoberfest, I think, is more seasonal, where it tends to do the pumpkin thing or have some sort of other types of spices. But a winter ale, really, if you have malts and you have high alcohol content, you're on the right track.
Yep.
You don't have to go real crazy with it. And there are ales, too.
Yeah, but I mean, you can get, like, I wouldn't even say that I mean, comparatively, yes, the alcohol content is high, because you're talking about 6% or above.
Right, 6 to 8%, not too bad. Or what you're drinking, which is 9% in some cases.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that just happens to be their seasonal. But again, I'll get into that when I
get it.
But yeah, I mean, you're looking at 6% above, you know, where a normal beer is anywhere from like 3.5 to 4.5.
And you can see like when we were talking about different wines, and you have table wines where the table wine was like, it has to be, what was it, like 14% or higher? Would
this
be,
I think, for the wine on the table.
Right.
Kate was saying like 12 to 13.
Would be where you leave the table wine section, I think, right? And before that, it's a table wine. So this kind of follows the same pattern where, I mean, you don't, because for some reason seasonal, this is considered a seasonal. But if it's an 6+% alcohol, it's kind of already falling into the winter realm. You throw some malts in there and you're probably good to go. You can just make and call it a winter ale if you want to. But nobody really wants to drink a winter ale in the summertime.
Psh.
But I don't know why.
Well, I mean, I was about to say, depending on which one it is, I think having a good beer at any time of the year is still having a good beer.
Right. And they're like, I didn't, when I first had the Sam Adams Winter, I wasn't too impressed, but I think that's a lager. I don't like the Sam Adams lager. It's not that I think it's bad. I just don't seem to, it doesn't work for me. I like their ales better. So I think that's probably why I don't like the winter.
And in fact, it's almost like an IPA in some ways.
But the
ale. Do you find it hoppy?
I find it very hoppy, yeah.
Hmm.
But the thing is, if you throw winter on there, you're giving it an impression that it's something you're only supposed to drink in the winter. And psychologically, I don't want to drink a winter beer in the summer. I would rather drink a summer ale, or, you know, like a Sam Adams summer ale, which is, in that case, that seasonal, again, is really a style. It's a wheat beer. Most summer ales I've seen are just wheat beers. And the winter ales are just high alcohol beers with malt. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way they're marketed. I mean, if they have spices and they smell like Christmas, well, shit, it's going to definitely be a winter ale, regardless, because they made it that way on purpose. The, what was I right here? I had something here on Sam Adams Beer Brewery website, they actually, you know, they have a quote for their winter ale and they or winter lager, and they says the first thing one notices in a Samuel Smith winter lager is its color, a deep brown of winter. Okay, that's marketing. Then comes the magical aroma, which promises something special on the tongue. The warm aroma of cinnamon and ginger, which blends with a roasted sweetness of the malted barley and hints of citrus from the orange peel. So, first off, most beers you see are deep browns or ambers. Or, you know, that doesn't make it winter. Because if that was true, it's reverse. Because a summer ale is like white. And when I think white, I think snow, right? So, I mean, the way they
I
they
think
can,
you're getting way too philosophical about this.
Well, no, the way they twist it, though, is they're making the beer sound like a winter ale. But it's not necessarily a winter ale. It's just a beer that has some potent flavor. No?
Yeah, I would say that I believe what brewers would generally go for, and again, unless they're doing some weird thing with the actual flavor of it, is they're making a heartier brew, which obviously in winter you want to be drinking something, you know, hearty, because that's when you start eating your stews and whatnot.
If you live, so, we're all making the obvious assumption that you live in an area that's cold.
Cold, yeah. Now, if you're, you know, living in Mexico.
Corona.
Corona.
24/7, bitches.
Always a good time.
Yeah. What are you going to say, Dave?
Who the fuck wants to be drinking some super heavy beer, you know, when it's fucking
so here's the thing. Would you say that a winter ale is something like an Oktoberfest with spices?
Oktoberfest usually has spices in America.
See, and
which is weird.
Yeah, I know.
I completely disagree with brewers that do that, because I think an Oktoberfest should be just an exceptional amber. That's
agreed.
All it needs to be.
And you
an
probably
exceptional amber beer.
And I'm sure the Germans will agree with you, because I don't think they do any
served in 1 liter glasses. Yes,
right.
Yeah,
Oktoberfest
copious
is
amounts. Yeah. Of good amber beer.
Oktoberfest.
From experience, at least what I remember of
right.
It.
We hear we have photos of you on a table. Oktoberfest.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oktoberfest should really be about volumes of beer, not necessarily a taste. It should be an attitude. If you take any beer and you drink it a lot, boom, that should be an Oktoberfest beer. That's my agree. That's how I see it.
So what you're saying is I went through college drinking
Oktoberfest.
I had a constant Oktoberfest of Koch's golden anniversary. That's a scary thought.
From what I'm,
it's a scary thought.
I think that's what I'm saying, but I don't know why. Yeah. Damn. Hey, Doug, have you
some
ever
call it college? Others call it Oktoberfest.
It's Oktoberfest for 4 years. Sometimes five or six if you've had too much fun in those 4 years.
Or you're a doctor.
Well, that too, but they're probably not doing too much partying. Did you?
Well, you never know.
Have you ever malted any barley, Doug?
Personally, no.
What, you've known somebody who has?
Always.
What, do you know somebody who's malted barley, Doug? Because you said personally, so I'm assuming you watched.
No, No, I'm just saying no. I've never personally.
Are you a malting voyeur?
I've never watched malting.
So apparently, a barley.
Although. I will just say that I go to the brew shop down the road, and they have it for me. So
they have malted barley?
Malted barley.
So do you know what it is then? What it's a process, malting, right? It's not a when I first heard, this was probably only a couple years ago, malt, like if you go to beer with malt, or I'll talk about malt beverages in a minute. Malting is just a process. For me, I always envisioned it as a plant. Like, there's a barley type, which is a malt. But that's not true. You can malt all kinds of things. It's kind of like, what do they call it when you caramelizing onions?
Could you malt me?
Yeah, but you probably wouldn't taste so good.
Oh, malted Dave.
I didn't want this. That's not in my diet.
It's not in anyone's diet, really.
Right. Well, there's a website that helped describe what barley was that, what was it called? Leaners.com? LEENERS.com? Apparently, they're a site that does beer kits, which probably something Doug would use if he used websites instead of.
No. No beer kits.
Sorry. Well, anyway, they do beer kits, but they also have other advice. And they said that barley is the principal source for fermented sugar in making beer. Duh.
Yep.
So. Other sugars derived from corn, rice, and wheat are used, but they're not considered to be what the hell is an adjunct? Adjunct or additives to the barley base?
An adjunct.
Adjunct.
An adjunct
I don't know if
is.
These guys should be the authoritative site to go to. I mean, they have make your own yogurt, make your own curing meat.
Well,
You
can barley meat.
You can't barley
No,
meat.
You can't. I know. But anyway, so but the,
an adjunct is something other than grain added to a beer.
Okay, so it comes in two forms: two rows or six rows. I don't think it really makes a difference, right? So
or
the
water,
right?
Sorry.
So malted barley is just a way of processing the barley. The grain is steeped in water and allowed to begin to sprout. This germination creates these enzymes, which are then required to convert starches to fermented sugars later in the brewing process. So they extend this germination, and which I guess is referred to as modifying. But when these little barleys decide they're going to germinate, if you start to work with them then, you're going to end up with this malted product, right? The germination stopped, you dry the grain, and you've got this germinated barley instead of just normal barley. And apparently, this is the process called malting or malting in general, but in this case, malting barley, so that you get that. It kind of gives you that. I don't know. What would you describe it as? A chocolatey or a heavy? What does it do?
You roast it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where your color is derived from.
Right.
You know, depending on A, style, and B, what you're going for, you'll use roasted or you'll use just light, and you basically just boil the shit down.
And if you catch it during this process, you've got this malted substance, which you can then make. It has a sweetness to it. Obviously some alcohol too, I guess. But it determines your color, potential alcohol, and your sweetness.
Yeah, the more that you use, like the more of the malt that you use, the ratio of malt to water, the more malt, the higher the alcohol content.
And what are we making here? We're making high alcohol content beers.
True.
So you're going to get malty, high alcohol content beverages. But then there's this, because this is where it gets confusing, because you can have a malt beer, but you can have a malt beverage as well. Right now, a malt beverage is supposed to, apparently in marketing speak, the malt beverage is supposed to, it's really a beer, but what you're doing is you're removing the word beer because it has these negative connotations with drinking and alcohol abuse, right? People drinking too much beer.
Instead, you're, you know, replacing it with names like Colt 45.
Right. So now what
totally not associated with getting drunk.
Apparently, you know, once it gets popular, everything is going to get associated with something. But you also have malt.
In England, they call it Alka-Pop.
Alka-Pop? Why?
Alka-Pop.
Because they put
because it's so sweet.
Yeah, because a lot of the, you know, insert flavor here kind of drinks are based on
malt
beverages of some kind, right?
Yep.
And totally. Some of them are caffeinating now. So I know the Captain Morgan's does that, which is, if you guys have that Captain Morgan's, I don't know what it is, malt beverage, it's horrible. It tastes like poop. It's the worst thing I've ever tasted.
Actually, I have a front runner for the poop tasting one. Smirnoff makes one that's grape flavored.
Ooh.
And it is just absolutely fucking vile.
Like fake grape flavored?
I felt like my mouth was assaulted when I put it in. It was just bad.
Was it cock slapped?
Oh my god. You have a way with words, Dave. But for some reason,
it's my gift.
Yours now makes me wish I hope I never accidentally have that, because anything with an assaulting taste, or no, a mouth assaulting, not a good time.
Yeah, I mean, you smell it, and it smells kind of like a grape popsicle, and you're like, all right, this is going to be okay. And it's just not. It's bad. It's very disappointing.
I think Texas...
It's like grape time a tap.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow, this is going to be great. Fuck, it's medicine.
Is a malt beverage taste like grape Dynatap? It will rape your mouth. That's awesome.
Cock slapping.
So in Texas, this is called a flavored beer, not a malt beverage, which I guess makes more sense. But you know those Texans, they're just honest about shit.
Oh, man. You know what actually fits into that category? Do you remember that Miller Chill shit that we tried?
Yeah, but that's supposed to be more like a... Isn't that... supposed to be what was
it's that? Supposed to be a beer, but it's actually a
tequila.
No, it's a malt beverage underneath.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Why, it has malt? I just thought it was a flavor. See, for me, flavored beer doesn't really, I don't always think malt. I think like you added some artificial flavor like lemons and limes and, you know, shit like that. You know,
it seems like they can use malt liquor with damn near anything that they make crap alcohol out of.
That's probably true, because it gives you the sweetness and the alcohol, which are the two things that somebody who wants to get really fucked up really wants to drink, right? I mean, they don't want to have something that tastes good. Tastes good costs money. What you want is something that will get you shit-faced real fast, cheap, but is sweet enough that it's palatable and you can take like 6 or 12 of the things.
Actually, right? since we've entered the cautionary tale portion of the podcast, I would like to caution people against the 20-ounce Miller Clamato.
Clamato sounds like a STD.
All I'm going to say is, in the event you see the Miller 20-ounce Clamato.
Wait, Clamato like clam and tomato?
Oh.
No way. They don't want to make something like that, do they?
I would not make this up.
Does it taste bad?
Freaking awful.
Well, did you think it was going to taste good when someone said clam juice? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, that doesn't enter my brain. Someone says, oh, you want some clam juice? No.
Well, but it'll get you shit-faced. No, I'll drink beer.
What do you mean? But get you shit-faced? There's alcohol in it?
Well, I'm not going to say shit-faced. I'm just going to say...
Wait, if it's Miller, why wouldn't it have alcohol?
Is it like a Bloody Mary alternative?
Yeah.
But instead of having Bloody and Mary, you have clam.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
How does one get clam juice? Do you milk a clam? Do you squeeze a clam?
You know the little foot that hangs
I don't know,
out?
But I got an 8-ounce bottle downstairs, so I can make my white clam sauce this weekend.
Wait, you know the clam, how that has a little thing that hangs out of it sometimes? You milk that. That's how you get clam juice.
You don't milk the clam. That's the natural juices.
Natural juices? I get natural juices for you, but nobody's making them into a beer.
Well, you're not a gastropod, are you?
No, I'm not. I can't even say that.
There's natural juices in clam.
Okay, I'll believe you. Anyway, that's fucked up.
It's salty.
You could be descended from a bivalve. We don't know.
It's salty.
Now, check this out. My God. Okay, a malt liquor is something few folks in America are familiar with. Usually college kids. I'm sure everybody here has or somebody in the hood. I got to keep that in mind. Our boys, you know, in our hood, we got to keep them covered for this section. Basically,
cuz they're big podcast fans.
Right, of course.
What up?
When they're not killing people, they're podcasting. But often referred to as a 40. It's a 40-ounce bottle of malt liquor. And there are a few examples. As Doug has mentioned, Colt 45, that's a classic. I got my Colt 45, yo. They have... Oh, I can't even say that with a straight face.
Raise your hand if you're white.
Well, yeah, but a lot of the Colt 45 drinkers are white, aren't they?
Okay. You've also got like Old English and Thunderbird.
Right. Old English 800, Mickey's, King Cobra. Come on. When you drink anything King named Cobra. King Cobra,
oh, yeah.
You know this thing is marketed towards the ute. That's youth, but in eubonics. Don't confuse malt winter ales with Colt 45. Completely different style of drinking altogether. We got to clear that up because I don't want anybody drinking, you know, going out and buying a Colt 45 thinking it's a winter ale. Not the same thing. Doug, did you get a Colt 45 in your set of your six pack?
Hold on, let me check. Nope.
Totally okay, didn't. See? Proof. Doug knows what the hell he's talking about. Doug doesn't drink Colt 45. I recommend you don't either.
I'm thinking we're going to have a 40 episode now.
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's going to be bad, but...
Very short. Everybody's just going to be passed out. See, that's what bothers me, is why is it that they... I mean, I don't know. To buy a 40-ounce drink, and all it is cheap, and all it is alcohol, it's like, what's the point? You really need to get drunk that fast?
Wait, hold on. 12 times 6. Dude, I'm drinking a 72 tonight.
Yeah, but you're hardcore, and you're drinking good stuff, so it's different. If you're drinking a 40, I don't know anybody who...
It's different.
I don't know. It is, because...
No, we're splitting hairs here.
You're doing it...
People aren't going to be drinking 40s for the taste of it. I mean, it's a really cheap way to get loaded. That's
right.
What it comes down to.
I think my brother drinks 40s sometimes. But you know why he does it? Completely different reason. Well, yeah, he does get arrested and get drunk a lot. But his issue is he's got like this stomach problem or like ulcers. He gets some sort of like he's young, but he has this, like a problem with anything like caffeine or anything acidic. And he can digest 40s better
is that
than
since
he can.
He started being a drug mule?
No, this is.
He's not a drug mule.
Ever since the time that condom popped open in his stomach. And yeah, no, it's completely different. So he drinks 40s and a lot of malt beverages because they don't have the same acidity or something that the beers do. The beers tend to hurt his stomach if it's a, I wouldn't say a heavy beer, but a light beer, really. Like a stout or something that's, you know, physically light but tastes heavy. You know, like a meal. Oops. Yeah, I don't know. So that's why he drinks 40s. But I'm thinking most people don't do that. Maybe it's me. Overall, though, back on the winter, the seasonal beers, I still like summer ale over winter ale, and I think we'll do a summer ale podcast, which would probably be some sort of wheat ale. I think, Dave, you don't like wheat ales, right?
I actually love them. That's one of my favorite things.
Who hates winter? Yeah. Wheat ales. Somebody I know hates wheat ales.
Me.
You really? Oh, it's you. Good. Then we definitely got to cover that.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, one of my favorite things are like Belgian white beers.
Squirm, bitch. Well, you can probably find a wheat beer that is tolerable.
Dude, if we're doing a wheat beer podcast, we're going to do a Jägermeister podcast.
I don't care. I can do... What do you think everybody here's got an aversion to Jägermeister? Dave loves Jägermeister.
I love Jägermeister.
Dave, you're not going to actually deny it?
Well, I don't know. Love is a strong word to use.
Only in relationships.
I like Jägermeister, but look, if the Jägermeister comes out, it's just bad things are going to happen that night.
Don't drink that much. Right. But
Have you tried the Baron Jäger?
What's that?
No.
Oh, Baron Jäger. It's honey Jäger. So it's if you can imagine drinking honey, that just fucks you up.
Oh,
that's Baron Jäger.
Sounds like a 40. Whoa, I heard a door.
That was kind of scary.
Oh, it's great. Oh my god, it's so... Yeah, actually it is scary. It's like, am I going to be drinking something that's going to make me do something crazy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I am.
When you see Doug jump out a window screaming, "I'm God!" falling from a building holding his cock, you know that there was a problem with that honey.
No, totally. I just, you know, strip to my skivvies and jump walls.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Okay.
I mean, everybody needs a hobby, so that's fine.
So
I wouldn't say hobby. I would say good time.
You guys want to get on to doing some reviews then? Good time, boy? I've got a...
What?
You said good times. Anyway, here, I'm going to cover my drinking, and I guess we should we do Doug last since he's covering it for like six people?
All right, that's fine.
I think that would be fair, right? And I
now, can you do a different accent for each one or something?
Arg! Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Nice.
And plus, my main concern right now is I only have like 30% of my glass left, so I got to make sure I can taste it when I get to my review, so I wanted to go first. And I didn't want to open another one, and I'll talk about price in a minute. So, first off, for winter ales to me, like I said, I'm not a big fan of winter ale. I like summer ales better, but it's the bitterness, I think, or the strength. But you know what? I think more or less it has to do with the fact that I hate winter, like the season. So when summer comes, you just want to relax. You want to sit out on the back porch drinking a beer, you know, talking with friends. There's a specific perception of an attitude there. For winter ale, you really are just trying to cover up and trying to get warmth. Because you're probably freezing, or you're, you know, it's just like this perception of death and destruction, and you're just trying to drown away your sorrows. Is it just me?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, but yeah.
Probably to a lesser degree for most normal mortals. So what I decided to do is cover Sam Smith. Cool. What?
I just smelled one of the beers that I just opened.
Nice. Potent? Well, you could tell me in a minute. So I covered Sam Smith Winter Welcome. And the reason I went with Sam Smith is because I think I covered Sam Smith Brown Ale, or Nut Brown Ale, last time in our Nut Brown podcast, or our Brown Ale podcast. So I figured stick with Top Shelf. It's the way to go, and it's going to be smooth. You can find their website, which for some reason is www.merchantduvin.com, D-U-V-I-N. I don't know why they don't just make a website for Sam Smith, but they don't.
Is it the importer?
Yeah. But they don't have like their own website dedicated to Sam Smith.
I'm starting to think there's some kind of weird law around where they have to prevent kids from getting into like anything that has alcohol advertising or something. If you notice that all the like beer sites and alcohol sites require like a date entry.
Yeah, but it's all bogus. Everybody goes to 1900 because it's the first date.
It's all about perception. Oh, I know.
It's
what do you mean it's the first date?
Well, what I do is I open the dialogue box and I just go to the bottom.
I put 3000 BC.
Oh, really? I can't do that.
I put negative 3000.
And they're all they're also flash. They're all flash. It's like, it's, well, anyway, besides the point. So why did I select this? Because I love Sam Smith beer. Plain and simple. So I, if there's any excuse to drink a Sam Smith, I will find it. That's just the way I roll. It's expensive. It's fucking expensive. $10.99, 4-pack, 12 ounces, 355 milliliter. Any way you measure it, you're spending a lot of money for very few beers. So you just have to deal with that. I blame Merchant Duven. I am dealing with it. I'm drinking it.
Fine. Enjoy it.
I am. You know why? Because it's consistently smooth. All of them. All their beers are smooth. They're not overly carbonated. They're very complex yet well-balanced. You know, if you want to sound all pompous and stuff. But they're smooth. This one's malty. It's got a thin, creamy head. You can take that as you will. So I just like it. And this one is, it looks more like, almost like a, not like a wheat beer, but it's on that, on par with it. It's a little cloudy, but it's still kind of a reddish brown to it. But it might be because I've been dancing around and playing with the beer. I don't know. But it's a good color.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that for a second.
Well, I've been spinning it around. I'm sitting here. I'm kind of just sitting here and I'm spinning it around. Oh, there's a floaty in there. I think my cup was dirty. Anyway, so is it worth the money?
Oh, shit, there's a floaty.
Yeah, whatever. So is it worth the money? I say yes. If you love beer, Doug bought one. He loves beer. He's a good, he can back me up on this. It's expensive, but it's worth it. If you're into Colt 45, this is not the beer for you, right? I mean, this is, I would call it, if you could, it's like a sipping beer. You have to take the time to enjoy it. Two reasons. It's good and you should take the time to enjoy it, and it's expensive. So if you drink it all in like 30 seconds, it's not worth the money.
I'd actually go a little bit further than what you just said, which is if you're only slightly into beer, don't do a winter ale.
Yeah, because it's going to be bitter, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be bitter. It's going to be strong. It's just not going to be your thing.
Nope.
No, yeah. You want to stick with just a standard ale or something a little smoother. You could say the same thing about wine if you drink wine. You don't go for like a hardcore Cabernet right off the bat. You go with something a little more subtle. If you're
like your mom.
Right. So, no problem. If you're buying this 4-pack and you plan on slamming it down at a football party, then you've probably either got too much money or you're just trying to show off. This is the way I see it. If I go over a guest's house, first off, you bring enough beer to serve some of the guests there, right? You don't bring a 6-pack just for yourself. You want to, unless you only drink one beer, that's fine. But you usually bring enough to share. If you're bringing a 4-pack of Sam Smith, when people do that, the first thing I think is they brought that for themselves, and that's a little rude. And then what you want to do is you just want to go steal one from them just to piss them off. So if you're just trying to show off, don't do that. That's not cool. And if you're drinking this to pound it, you're an idiot. You should be drinking Bud or something where you can pound it and drink like 50 of them before you get drunk. Right? Does anybody disagree with that analogy? Maybe not calling anybody an idiot, but you know.
Nah, man, I totally pound the good stuff.
I mean, it's just not worth it. If you can't taste it, why are you drinking it? So I take
I taste it. That's why I prefer to pound the good stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I tend to nurse the glass, like, you know, and just take my time and relax.
Like a sissy?
Just with...
Well, he nurses it because he realizes that every sip he takes away from his children's college education fund.
Right.
That's
so expensive.
That's a bunch of shit.
Yeah, I know, but, you know.
No, it could if you drank enough of it. But just don't abuse it. Don't pound it, Sam.
I don't think you could.
You don't?
Well, I'll get to my review of your Sam Smith.
Okay. So no A? All right. Well, I give it for price. I'm going to give it 1 star because it's expensive. 1 star. Why am I doing stars? 1 glass. Our rating is 1 to 5 glasses. I'm going to give it 1 glass. That's not good. Price is a little high. It's imported. It's from the mecca of English style beers, which of course would be England. So you know you get what you pay for, but you're getting a good beer. This is like a reposado of beers. For taste, 5 stars. It should be, if you're doing this right, the taste or five glasses. The taste should be inverse of price. If you're spending a lot of money, it should have a great taste. Whatever. Presentation, 5 glasses. It's a big, cool bottle. It's got colorful label. The Winter Warmer is one of their more impressive labels if you're looking for something that just stands out. But the rest of it looks like a standard Sam Smith bottle. For Buzz Factor, it's 6% alcohol by volume. Tasty. It's a way to get drunk. You just need to buy a couple 4-packs, so you're in this for $24 to get liquored up when you can usually get away with 2 cold 45s. So you figure out the way you want to go about doing the Buzz Factor. I think it's a great way to get a Buzz Factor because I can drink one or two of these in a day or in a 2-hour period, and I'm usually pretty good in ways of drunkness. I think that's about it. There's really nothing else to say about the Winter Ale except it doesn't contain any spices like Dave was complaining about. You're not going to get a taste it's not going to taste like eggnog. It's not going to taste like cinnamon buns or sugar cookies. It's going to taste like fucking beer, the way beer should be tasted. End of story. Ba-ding! Ta-ding. XBL noob, done. Anyway, that was my email. Dave.
Yeah.
Can you review in a few seconds so I can go pee?
Sure.
All right. I can wait. You guys can. All right. Made it back.
At some point, I will do another batch of the porter that me and my brewing buddy made, which...
Wait, you have a homosexual relationship with a brewer?
My brewing buddy. Not my ass buddy.
Oh, different person.
My brewing buddy. No, not a different person.
Were you getting jealous, sir?
No, I just... Dude, I had a piss so bad, it was bad.
Was it bad or was it relieving?
Dude, it felt so good, to be honest.
Oh, I bet. Dude... Man, I gotta pee so bad. My back teeth are floating.
Nice. Reaching back to get a Cheech and Chong quote. That's classic.
I love Cheech and Chong.
Oh, God. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave's not here.
Dave's not here. Dude, do people have used that on you?
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Open up. Yeah. It's Dave.
Dave's not here.
No, man. It's Dave. Open the door.
I'm sure poor Dave's probably got that one a lot.
Yeah. Just a few times.
Oh, man.
Oh,
Dave's
my God.
Not here.
Dude, that's like Rob Zimmerman. Everybody's like, dude, did you know you have the same name as Bob Dylan? He's like, yes, I did. Once a month, I know this.
Yes, shut up.
Anyway, so Doug. Dave. You want to tell
it's
me a little?
Here.
You want to tell
Dave's
me a little about
here, man.
The other Samuel?
Yeah, so I decided to go with something mass market for a change, which isn't something I typically do, but for once, I decided to try what I thought was a local beer. Turns out that it's not.
It's not?
Which is Sam Adams Winter Lager.
No, man, it's not. They fucking brew that shit all over the place.
Yeah, Boston Beer Company originally was in Boston, but they started outsourcing a lot of their stuff to like Miller and Pittsburgh Brewing Company.
Oh, really?
It turns out that actually most of their stuff now comes from Cincinnati.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's what I said.
You didn't know that?
Shut up. How was I supposed to know that?
All right.
So, little did I know, I thought it was a local thing, but it's not.
So, but it's none of it is? Like their beer? No. But he still picks out the hops and stuff, right? So he's still like, Jim Cook is still... The dude? I mean, what?
I guess. I mean, it's a pretty massive company at this point, though.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's like Budweiser, but better? I thought they're not. Are they considered a microbrew?
Not anymore. I mean, they used to be, but they're certainly not. I mean, they were one of the first that became popular, which is kind of interesting. You know, beer went through this kind of renaissance period, and they were one of the forerunners of that.
Huh.
But now you can find Sam Adams anywhere across the country, which is good and bad. It's actually not bad stuff for the most part. I can usually sit down and have a Sam of whatever type and be reasonably happy with it, you know?
That's true.
Yep.
I picked it for that reason that anybody listening to this, is anybody listening to this? Anyways.
Yeah, actually, I think we have a lot of listeners.
Just joking. We'll be able to
at
find
least people.
Yeah.
That's right. It's The other reason that I chose it is that I've had other winter lagers and winter ales and winter warmers, whatever you want to call them, and most of them I just can't stand, and because of that potpourri factor.
Right.
The nice thing about this beer is that it's just a somewhat darker beer. Again, for me, it tasted a little bit like an IPA in that it's got a very hoppy overtone towards to it, which is a little unusual for winter ale, but nothing too biting. It wasn't overpowering or anything. And I was able to try it in both bottle and on draft here, which is kind of cool.
You have it at a draft at home?
No, not at home. actually, at a restaurant last weekend, I was able to try it.
Oh, yeah, because they usually always carry the latest seasonals.
Especially around here, because, again, everyone considers it the local big brewery, right?
And we got
so
backstabbed.
You can always find the same seasonal
right
at local restaurants and such. So it's actually a pretty good beer. It's not in the same category as some of the other winter ones that I've had, in that it just tastes like a somewhat darker beer, almost like an Oktoberfest would be without all the spicing, that kind of stuff. So it's not bad. It's nothing special, though. It's very drinkable, has some warmth to it, but I don't know. It's not something that I would just pick up out of the blue. If it's there, okay, I'll drink it. But if there are other things available, probably go elsewhere.
See, I think I do the same thing, because I think if you drink a lot of beer, you tend to, at least I do, I try to buy something different every time I go. You know, like with Sam Adams, the problem I have is since it is so popular around here, if I go to a bar, or I don't usually go to too many bars, but if I go to like out for a drink, I'll order Sam over something else, for maybe because I think it's local and it's fresher. I don't know. But when I go to the store, I look for something different. And winter wouldn't be the one I pick up.
I would agree with that. I mean, I will pick it up on occasion but it's not one of my standard brands that I would pick up. I don't do different beers every single time I go. I try to keep it within a certain kind of range of things that I drink. But Sam is one of those things where, like, it's my last choice.
Right.
In a lot of places. But what I find is that, you know, you go to a generic restaurant and they'll have Bud, Bud Light, and all these other kind of things. And then they'll always have Sam. So I'll usually go with that because it's, you know, a damn sight better than a Bud.
Right.
Yep.
I completely
agree with that, because you're right. You go to any generic restaurant, or in pretty much any restaurant, they will always have Sam Lager on draft. And so, you know, they go through, oh, we got Bud, Bud Light, Miller,
Coors,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Coors. And then they're like, Sam Adams. Yeah, I'll have the Sammies.
And it's not like it's a great beer, but it's a much better beer than the other ones that they just
A bad beer.
It's not.
And I completely agree with everything you said about the Sam Adams winter. It is not a bad drink.
It's just not one that stands out.
Yeah. If you're out and, you know, you want to try a winter beer, if you want to just try some random winter beer, haven't really had any winter beers, start with the Sam Adams winter. It's not a bad beer. It is very drinkable. It does have a tiny little bit of spice to it. It does have the requisite alcohol content.
It's just
not a bad place to start.
Right, and there's nothing that's going to be overpowering that'll turn you off to the whole genre right off the fact, as opposed to like the Harpoon, for example, where, you know,
oh my god,
it's just overpowering. So you
oh my god. Hold on. Oh shit.
What'd you do?
It came out my nose.
Oh. So you didn't lose your shit?
No.
Oh.
I got no Kleenexes up here. God damn it.
Wipe it on your pants.
I'll be right back.
All right.
Give me a minute.
I guess. Here I am, find out. I take this damn thing off. It's a screw off top. No, what's the satisfaction in that?
You gotta actually be careful about that. I didn't realize the bottle was a screw top and popped it off with a bottle opener and wound up like chipping a piece of glass off on it.
Oh, really?
I handed it to a friend of mine and she wound up cutting her lip on it.
Ooh, not good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not cool. Was it just a bad defective bottle though, or was it the ridges that did it?
I think one of the ridges basically pulled off when I tore the cap off.
Oh, that would suck. See, the only time I've done that is when I was at a football game, No, I wasn't. I've never been to a football game. What the fuck was that? I think it was a concert, actually. I think it was a Dave Matthews concert, a Pink Floyd concert or something. And we brought a bunch of beers, but I forgot the beer opener. So,
oh, damn it. So all right, I'm back.
No problem. So when you open, what I did is to open the beer bottle, if you open your car door, you know that steel latch? It kind of has like a square look to it. It looked like a great bottle opener. So, so what I figured is, if I'm careful, I should be able to use the door latch on the side that's attached to the car, not the door, of course, because the other side's the female version. So I kind of just pulled it through there. But what I did is, instead of taking off the top of the bottle, I took off the neck, the whole neck. It just all came off. So then, of course, do you waste a beer? No, you try and filter it into a plastic cup and without getting any glass in there. Which, you know, if you see glass should sink to the bottom of a beer, right? So if you don't see glass sink to the bottom, you're probably good to go. You could pass the rest, right?
Yeah, remind me not to drink at your house.
I taste burn.
It tastes like burning.
Yeah, I totally fucked up.
Yeah, the beer
up.
Was good, it's but I kept peeing blood for a week afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Anyway, now that I've opened my bottle and Doug's cleaned his nose, what else? You have some more to talk about?
No, I mean, I think what we've come down to is that basically this is, while it is a winter ale, it's a very generic winter ale. It's very drinkable. It's probably a good intro to the genre. It's nothing special.
But it's a good staple.
So I think it's pretty much average right down the line as far as how it tastes, what it looks like, what it costs. I think it's threes all around.
And yeah, it does it have? I didn't look. Does it have a higher alcohol content than a standard lager?
Yeah, it does. It's 5.8.
Ooh, they didn't hit the six marker.
No.
Oh, those bastards! They're giving you less than a good winter. You don't get royally wintered until you get at least a six.
I think I got.
Yeah, but
one.
Really, are you going to drink a lot of this stuff?
A six
could
pack.
You drink a lot of stuff?
I could drink a six pack. Not in a night. I thought maybe
or
I could.
Sam's winner?
Yeah.
Yeah, potentially.
You know what? I know how I could do it? Is if I brought or bought or had for some reason a six pack and that was all I had, I could drink the whole six pack. It wouldn't be like, there's certain beers, it might be some wheat beers. There's certain beers where if I drink one or two, that's like Pete's Wicked Cherry Wheat. One, maybe two.
Oh, Strawberry Blonde, you mean?
Strawberry Blonde, that's what it is, yes.
Yeah.
Strawberry Blonde. The other one I can only drink so many of, Magic Hat number 9.
Actually, have you ever had Sam Cherry Wheat before?
Yes, I have.
That's another
only
one of those.
Freaking beer I cannot drink ever again.
Which one? Cherry Wheat?
Yep.
Didn't you have an issue with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Only beer I've ever puked on.
Yeah. Anyway, Doug, yours could be good. I'm curious to hear all of your comparing and contrasting of your beers here. You've got a shit ton of beers. I don't even know how you're still standing, to be honest. And then you've got the Turbo Dog to back it up if you're not comatose by the end of this.
I have six beers.
Okay.
The Sam Smith Winter Welcome. The Blue Moon Full Moon Winter Ale.
It's not a wheat?
No.
Oh, I've only had wheat from Blue Moon. Continue.
They actually just came out with a summer ale, too.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. This is going to be stuff I try.
The Duck Rabbit Baltic Porter, which happens to be seasonal. It's not necessarily a winter brew, but it is their winter seasonal.
Fair enough.
Which is why I picked it up. Plus, I enjoyed the Duck Rabbit brews. They are in North Carolina, so if you're listening in some other part of the country, there's a good possibility that you will never find nor hear of the Duck Rabbit. The Brooklyn Winter Ale, Harpoon Winter Warmer, and the Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale.
Celebrate!
Hooray!
Yay!
Yay!
Celebrate!
So I guess the
be
question.
A good time, celebrate.
I'm guessing.
Do you want to do them in order of which you like best to worst or something?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, all right, I can do that.
Because why you selected it might be because you're just an alcoholic. But continue.
I'm not an alcoholic.
You just love beer.
I just love
anything with alcohol.
There's a difference.
Yeah, one of them you've admitted to it and you're getting medical help. The other one, you're just drinking beer.
Yeah, well, I like... all right, so, it, yeah, actually, I'll take Dave's suggestion. I will start with the Duck Rabbit Baltic Porter. An exceptional beer. It was dark like a stout, super heavy, 9% alcohol content. The flavor of it was like a nice, rich toffee flavor.
No, now you're saying taffy, like not coffee, right? Like toffee. Is that the same as taffy for us Americans? T-A-F-F-E-Y or T-O-F-F? Well, I mean, how do you spell that?
T-O-F-F-E-E. Toffee.
Okay, toffee. All right.
Not like taffy. Taffy okay. is like sweet.
Like a sweet. Yeah. I want to make sure that we get it right because
toffee is more brittle and has a more savory flavor.
Fair enough.
And the really interesting thing about this particular brew is it is 9%, and the alcohol was where the alcohol hit the tongue. It tasted very like white wine-ish or champagne-ish, which makes me think that they potentially used champagne yeast.
So sweet.
For this. Yeah. Yeah, the alcohol was sweet in it.
So you pretty much, I mean, technically the way it works is your sweet taste buds are going to fire first, then your sour taste buds fire second. So, I mean, right off the bat, you should taste that, like, right when it enters your mouth.
You know, actually, I will say that the alcohol pronounced itself more on the back end.
Well, that's probably because it's a winter style, right? It's got more alcohol, so you're going to balance it towards the alcohol. I mean, it's got high alcohol content, which is good for some people.
Yeah, 9%, actually, an excellent beer. Very, 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 very good.
But for some people that have a don't like an alcoholic beer, it might not necessarily be the best. Even considering winter in general, if alcohol is the first scent you're gonna pick up, it might not work for people who like a lighter brew.
True. You know, I will say the disclaimer that I would put on this particular beer is, unless you're a beer lover, unless you really enjoy the dark beers, the heavier beers, this beer really wouldn't be for you. And then and it's like the rest of the field kind of like jockeys for last. it's relatively unfortunate, except for the Full Moon. I have had the Full Moon ale before, and like luckily I saved this for myself for the end because I was like, fuck, I'm gonna be drinking a bunch of beer that I fucking hate.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll jump to the Sam Smith. While I completely understand how you love the Sam Smith, the one thing that I have an issue with the Sam Smith is that fucking Euro skunk that it has. You know, you pop it open and it has that god-awful vinegary taste thing going on for it, which...
You want to know why?
You pop open a Heineken or you pop open really anything that's imported, almost anything.
You know, but there's only one common thing that those have. They're all in clear glasses, right? Or some almost clear glasses?
Nah, well, yeah. I mean, mine's in a brown.
Well, a lot of people, I did see when I was reading different reviews to see what other people thought, a lot of people's view of the skunk was, and it's not in every beer, I don't think, but all Sam Smiths are clear glasses. And the reason people don't use clear glasses, typically, is the same reason why Corona happens to use them and people use lime, to remove this specific taste. If the sun gets at the beer, it's going to start to destroy it. Which is why you put them in a darker bottle, right? Yep. And Sam Smith, for some reason, doesn't do that. So depending on how the distributor handled the beer, you could end up with something that doesn't taste the same way as it does if you're in England.
In my opinion, it goes to the Stellas, it goes to the Heinekens, it goes to the Sam Smiths. Anything that comes across the fucking sea has this weird Euro skunk thing to it, which is alleviated by you take it, you pour it out, you put it in a glass, and you let it sit for a bit.
I always do
that.
And
then eventually it just goes away. And the Sam Smith, you're right. It was a very straightforward beer-flavored beer. It was, you know, not too dark. It has a nice orangish, goldish color to it. Definitely not dark in any stretch of the imagination. It's 6%. It's not a bad beer, but you know, you can't just pop it open and drink it out of the fucking ass.
I've never done that. There's never been a time where I've opened a Sam Smith and drank it out of the bottle, I don't think. Not that I can remember. I mean, maybe I was drunk.
Oh, thank God. That's freaking awesome.
Well, because I always drink good beer out of a glass. I always do. I don't like to drink beer out of a bottle. I just never have. And it's probably because I think it's better for the beer, or I can see the beer. I don't know why I do it. I just always do it. And I know other people who are like even my father-in-law, if you go to a restaurant, he will refuse a glass, frosted or not frosted. He doesn't want a glass. I drink my Coors from a bottle. That's the deal. If you give
him
that glass,
because it's fucking Coors.
Right, or whatever, Bud Light, whatever it is, he drinks it straight from the bottle. Even if they put a glass on the table, he won't pour it into the glass. Where I do the opposite. I ask for a glass if I don't get one. So I guess it's just a different preference. But for this, I guess you're right. If you want to burn off the effects of travel, I guess the glass, let it sit there like a little bottle of wine for a little while, let it oxidize.
Yeah, totally. Let that shit breathe. It's god awful if you don't.
So what is
it's sort of funny that you mentioned that, because I drink mostly Belgian beers, and a lot of people complain that it has a moldy flavor.
Is that the normal flavor though?
It is.
Well, then I guess that's okay. It depends too, I guess, because a lot of the Weiss beers don't come over in a clear bottle either.
See, though, but the different thing between like a Sam Smith and like a Belgian is the yeast. The yeast that they use tends to have it produce a flavor that's a bit more, I want to say, you know, tart.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, yeah.
That's a result of the yeast. The particular taste that I'm speaking of, I don't know. At one point I read a review of some type of beer, and dude said, you know, the Euro Skunk, and I was like, I totally know what that is. Euro Skunk.
But you're not saying that not saying that the beers that are in Europe are bad. You're just saying that the transportation, the exportation, ruins what could be a really good draft. You know, if you were to go to Europe to any place that serves,
if you were to get any of these beers on draft, like I have had Stella in the bottle versus on draft. Stella on draft, very good. You don't get that Euro Skunk. Stella in a bottle,
right. And you always do better if you can get it on draft. The problem is it's very rare to get some of these. You'll never – I don't think you'll ever see a Sam Smith on draft anywhere.
Mm-mm.
Because, you can't get Sam Smith anywhere. I don't know of any place where you can order a Sam Smith, personally. Nope. There must be some place, but I just don't know what it is.
We used to have a German, as it were, a German place in the mall, Mr. Dunderbox. They used to have
really?
All kinds of really, 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 really good beer.
I guess, that would be your exception. Right. If you're going to a place that centralizes on beer, you're probably going to find it. That's true.
Yeah. All right. But, all right. So, Sam Smith, good, has the Euro Skunk, poured in a glass, let it breathe for a little bit. It gets a little bit better. The Brooklyn Winter, the color was, you know, like on par with the Sam Adams Lager Dark. It didn't really have an orange hue. It was, you know, like a darker beer. 6% alcohol content. The comment that I wrote was blah. I was very disappointed with this beer.
It's interesting because that's usually a pretty good brewery.
Yeah, and that's one of the more disappointing things. I like all the other Brooklyn brews. Literally, I love the Brooklyn Brewery Company because they make really good beer. And this particular winter ale, I don't know if I just got like a bad bottle or what, but it was poopy.
Poopy. Poopy is your technical term for this. You wouldn't buy a Brooklyn winter ale again.
I would give it another shot.
But it's going to be poopy.
On the off chance that I just got a bad bottle. But if it tasted like this one, it...
Well, what is it that makes you unhappy about the... What defined poopy? I mean,
it just wasn't good.
Now, is it that you didn't like it, or in context of what you expected out of it, you didn't like it?
You get a lot of beers here.
It was just not good.
Okay, like, fair enough.
Like no, straight up.
And you're only at number three, so this is going to get interesting.
It was true. Just not good.
That's true. I never thought of it that way. Yeah. What's next then?
Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale?
Yeah.
All right, the Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale. It actually had a very nice color, had a great head. It's 6.8%. My only issue with the Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale is this shit is so fucking hoppy, it tastes like a goddamn grapefruit. And I know exactly how they get to this. The more floral the hop, the more it will taste citrusy. The more it tastes citrusy, the more it's going to taste like a...
pineapple.
Grapefruit.
So, but...
No, not a pineapple. A pineapple with its... A pineapple has a really nice balance between sweet and tart and citrus.
And you're saying this tastes more like citrus balanced with urine. Okay.
No, it tastes more like citrus balanced with, you know, a goddamn grapefruit.
I can see.
If you want to drink a grapefruit, go out and get yourself.
Grapefruits are very sour.
So
this would taste like a sweet tart. Well, not really, but, you know, it more like a sweet tart than
a beer flavored sweet tart.
Yeah. So you don't, and you're not a big fan of that, apparently.
No,
I guess there's got to be somebody who likes that.
Oh yeah, I'm obviously there are definitely people that enjoy the really hopped type of ales.
I think I've
which
had
I
that.
Completely get, but it's not for me.
Well, it's the type of.
But literally, actually, here's a funny story. So the first time that I actually tried this beer, I was like, this was a couple years ago. I was drinking it. And I was like, you know, I don't know if I like this. And then I was like, honey, here, you try it. And my wife tried it, and she was like, it tastes like something. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, beer? She's like, no.
No, nothing.
It
like
tastes
that.
Like. And she took another sip. She was like, grapefruit. And I was like. Fucking hey, it totally tastes like grapefruit.
So
anyway,
I haven't had this. This was I've had Sierra Nevada, but the one I had was green. This is the one I had when I was in
probably the standard pale ale.
Yeah, it might have been pale ale. That's the one I had when I was in Palm Springs.
Oh yeah, the normal Sierra Nevada pale ale is actually a very good beer.
This one has a funny label. I've never even seen this before. It's like a white label.
Yeah, it's a seasonal.
Huh. That's cool. Well, not cool, obviously.
Do you guys drink IPAs typically?
I do. I'm drinking one right now, I think. Actually, no, I'm not. Sorry. I drank one earlier before the podcast.
Are you drinking the IPA, the Harpoon?
I was drinking a Harpoon earlier. Right now, I'm drinking the... Let's see what this is. I don't... See, these things confuse me. Woodstock Inn Brewery, which I've been to, is a very nice restaurant. It's called the Red Rack Ale. It's a New Hampshire brew. But I don't know what, you know, Red Rack Ale. It just is ale. I don't know if it's an India Pale Ale. Yeah, but sometimes, you know, they put so much work into marketing the name that you don't know what the style really is. I guess it must just be an ale.
I'm asking this as a setup because I'm not a big fan of IPAs. And I had one recently, which is by Smutty Nose.
Yes.
And it's the nastiest one I've ever had.
Really?
I can tell you the problem that you had with the Smutty Nose is... Smutty Nose roasts all of their barley to make a very roasted flavor in their malt, which translates into a very dirty tasting beer.
Well, dirty is a bad. I mean, dirty, really dirty. You mean like
no, but like
is it like the way Starbucks chars their dark roasts, where Starbucks, you know, although it's popular in mass market for coffee. The roast that they're doing is way overcooked. Like, it's not really good coffee. You wouldn't take a Starbucks coffee bean and eat it and go, this is good. You know, because it's overcooked, but it works. People seem to like it. But
Dave,
it,
what was your problem with the beer?
It was, well, it was really the flavor of it. I mean, it just had, I didn't really view it as being a muddy flavor, but it just, I don't know, it had this bad overtone to it. And I found that the hoppiness of it was really pervasive.
Like a kick in the nuts?
Kind of, but not really.
Maybe like a cocksucker.
Nothing like that.
But we're kind of digressing here. So yeah, all right. So you made it through what, three?
No, he's up to four, I think.
No, I went through the Duck Rabbit, the Brooklyn, the Sierra Nevada, the Sam Smith. All right, so I have two more.
Number five on the shit list is
actually, I'm going to elevate the Full Moon to number two.
Two
behind the Duck Rabbit.
Why? Yeah.
Well, because I just popped it open, and I happened to be saving it because I knew that I kind of liked it. The Full Moon, again, actually, the coloring between the Sierra Nevada, the Sam Smith, and the Full Moon are actually very similar colorings, a nice orangish gold color to it. And all actually had pretty good head. The Sierra Nevada actually had the best head out of the three.
But it tasted like ass, so that doesn't count.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say it tastes like ass. It was just
grapefruit.
You know, grapefruit. It actually has a very, you know, mellow ale flavor to it. Doesn't have, you know, any weird flavorings or the like to it.
I've never had a problem with Blue Moon. It's just I normally have their wheat beers, so there's a... If you like wheat beers, I tend to go with like a Hoegaarden or something over a Blue Moon when I can. But yep. But I mean, I don't have a problem with them. They're just very cloudy, which is normal for an unfiltered beer. It's just I always assumed Blue Moon was an unfiltered wheat. I didn't know they had a winter or even a seasonal, because this doesn't. Oh no, it does say winter ale, right? So it is really their winter seasonal.
Yep. It is the lightest, actually, in alcohol content out of all. It's 5.6. The tag says that it's an Abbey Ale brewed with a hint of dark Belgian sugar. I would put this on par with Sam Adams Winter. You know, it's a very middle of the road.
But it, overall, it's still, looking in comparison to what you've had, it's still better. It doesn't, because it doesn't pronounce itself, it's not going to pronounce itself in a negative way.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, which brings us to number six.
You don't like Harpoon, huh?
Oh, fucking Harpoon Winter Warmer. God damn it. I don't know what these fucking people were thinking. Hey, let's go ahead and shove a cinnamon stick in some allspice and maybe some cumin in it.
I think they took a tour of the Yankee Candle factory before they made the beer.
Mm. So you're both in agreement with this. I haven't had a Harpoon Winter. Earlier I had a Harpoon IPA, which tasted perfectly fine.
It's fucking awful, which is disappointing because I love Harpoon IPA.
I would think you did.
I love the normal Harpoon.
Well, you brought a 12-pack to my house. So
like UFO.
UFO, that's a good, that's a wheat,
yeah,
right?
Their like UFO is a bad.
That's a Hefeweizen?
You know, for wheat beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this Harpoon Winter Warmer is fucking god awful.
But the only way that I can describe it is, you ever walk into a Yankee Candle store, or like any of those, you know, country stores where they have all the candles and potpourri and shit?
Right.
You know how that assaults your nose?
Yeah, after about 5 minutes, you can't stand it.
It's the same way. It's just, it's so busy that, you know, it tastes like you're drinking potpourri water. It's just awful.
But from multiple flavors.
Right.
Because that's the problem when you walk into a Yankee Candle, is it's not like you smell cherry or strawberry. It's you smell everything at once. And you can't, your senses just can't handle that. So they just shut down and they're like, you wake me when you're not being a moron. Get out of this fucking store now or I'm going to kill myself. That type of attitude. So I wouldn't want to drink a beer like that, but I would be curious enough that even if somebody brought one over, I'd have to try it because I want to know. I mean, everybody's got
you
different
know, it
senses.
It smells interesting. You know, you put it up your nose and you're
like a goddamn cinnamon stick.
Yeah, that's what
it
I mean.
It's like, smell it smells like, hey man.
Is it apple pie? What is it?
Yeah. Would you like to drink? some cinnamon.
But somebody must like that. I mean, there's got to be – that is your stereotypical winter ale, right? I mean, that's what people are assuming it's going to taste like, no?
Actually, I'm going to say this. I do not think that people want to drink this. I think that people inadvertently buy this shit because it says Harpoon, winter warmer.
Ooh, well, Harpoon's a good name, so –
winter warmer. I would like to be warm in winter. So they buy it. They take it home. They crack open one. They take a sip. They're like, God damn.
And they never buy it again.
Just go and drink some liquor.
So you think that perhaps the winter warmer recipe will change in the future? Or do you think, I mean, neither of you seem to have any good things to say.
Apparently they have a good thing fucking going. This is not the first year that they've
had the unfortunate thing is there are a lot of other breweries that make similar kind of things to that.
Oh, so
it's just totally overpowered, you know, nightmare.
And so what they're doing is they're marketing.
I don't get it.
They're marketing to that demographic. Whoever those people are, there's enough of them to justify brewing a beer every year. Cuz
here's what I'm going to say. In the event you are listening to this podcast, or however you're listening to this, and you actually enjoy the highly adjunct flavored
poop,
let's say Harpoon winter warmer, email somebody.
Hold on.
Email me.
Hold on. You can
email DouglasPeterson3@gmail.com.
He wants
That's
to know.
DouglasPeterson. It's Peterson with all E's. 3, because apparently I'm the third one in this country, @gmail.com.
Or you can
email me and let me know that you like this crap.
I can set you up an Everyday Drinkers podcast, Everyday Drinkers email address too, if you want.
Yeah, that too. Whatever. But
you could also email podcast.
I want the feedback on this shit.
Podcast at Everyday Drinkers.
Who drinks this? And I want them to email me, hey, heard the podcast. Heard you didn't like the Harpoon Winter Warmer. I really liked it. That's all I want to see.
Yeah, or you can go to podcast@everydaydrinkers.com. I think I have an email set up. If I don't, I will after this, for that specific thing so people can email. Unless they want to email you directly either. It's Gmail. You can't go wrong with Gmail. But there's people.
Send me hate mail. Send me, hey, fuck you, asshole. I like the Harpoon Winter Warmer. And I'm like, okay.
You're an asshole. You don't know what you're talking about, cock munch.
Yeah, that's fine. But honestly, god damn.
It is disappointing because it is a good brewery, you know?
And yes.
It is.
One thing. Terrible.
I'm so with Dave on that. It is a good brewery. They actually produce really good beer. This Winter Warmer bullshit is bullshit.
Maybe they screwed up.
I don't think so, because this tasted the same over
the past couple
of years.
There is a perception, though, like a winter drink should bring you the sense of Christmas and sugar cookies and candy canes. And it's like if you get an eggnog
bullshit.
Latte,
that's
you're
what
gonna
eggnog and brandy is for.
We did that podcast already. No, but. I know what you're saying, but I'm saying the perception might be, and this is all theory because obviously it's justified to produce this foul beverage since everybody seems to not like it, but yet they're still selling it. Somebody out there likes this shit, right?
I think you're right. There's a perception thing where somebody's going to have this and go, oh, yeah, that's what I was looking for. And
but you don't really know what you're looking for. That's the
exactly.
problem. And I guess you just got to deal with it. I think realistically, like what you said, that if you're looking for a real true blood winter ale, the only ones you're going to get that are mass market are going to be your Sam Smith, your Sam Adams, and your Blue Moon. Those ones you can get anywhere, right?
Hold on, real quick. Now that I've reviewed my six beers that I got, I will say that I did not get my favorite winter brew.
What's that?
Purposely. My favorite winter, like if you go out of the store and it says winter, is the Red Hook winter.
Can you get Red Hook down there?
Yeah.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, the Red Hook, the Winter Hook.
Winter Hook?
Yeah, it's called Winter Hook.
Okay. I think I've had that, actually.
It's actually very good. In my opinion, it's in quality and taste, it's superior to the Sam Adams, but it is in the same vein as the Sam Adams Winter, where it's not overpowering. It doesn't have a goddamn cinnamon stick shoved up its goddamn ass, and it tastes like a nice, good brew.
Is it a white label? I'm looking at images.google.com to see if I can find it.
Yep.
You didn't get it because you ran out of space in your six pack?
No, they just didn't have any at the store. They ran out.
You can run out? I've never seen
Apparently
that.
Apparently they ran out.
Oh. But that would be, so you would put that at the top of everything, or do you
at the very top. If you are going to go and purchase a winter brew, do yourself a favor and get the Winter Hook.
Where's
the Red Hook Winter Hook?
Where are they located, do you know?
Red Hook?
Yeah, they're up here somewhere.
They're on both coasts. They're in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and they're in somewhere in Washington State, like Seattle or some bullshit.
Oh, okay. Dave seems to have sent me something. Oh, Beer Advocate.
There's a site called Beer Advocate that actually has done winter beer reviews on all these different types. Well, I was just curious to see if they had don't see the Harpoon one.
I noticed on Google.
They must have known better.
They compete against us.
Yeah. Like, man, that shit's awful.
Yeah, I always have to find myself competing against their website when I'm blogging because they have a lot of content. Now, this Full Moon. Wachusett, is that what that says?
Wachusett's a local brewery to me. That's interesting.
Yeah, Wachusett Mountain. I just know that commercial. It's hard for me to see because I'm seeing a little double because I've had a few beers, but. It seems good enough. I mean, I've been to Beer Advocate. I didn't know they did a winter one, though. That's cool. They have a lot more beers. I think Doug can probably drink them under the table in terms of beer selection. So that covers... So that's it, huh? That's all your beers covered up and... So the moral of the story is...
Yeah, with no accent.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Sorry, Dave.
I think in retrospect, it's probably a good choice to not.
Yeah, it would have been really good.
Duck Rabbit is the good stuff, and Harpoon is the bad stuff. Anything
God,
in between?
It was awful.
And it seems there's a consensus with that.
And if you want to just give one of these things a try, the Sam's not a bad way to go.
It's true. I agree
with that. Neither is Winterhook.
Right.
And all of them are a better choice if you're just experimenting than a Sam Smith, which will cost you a lot more money. And you're only going to get four.
And you're going to get the fucking Euroskunk.
I don't really taste the Euroskunk. I've never had a problem with it. Maybe I'm just not looking for it, or I just get lucky. You always get that same flavor?
Yep.
And you're not the first to say it either. So that's that. I mean, it was not an unfamiliar description that I had heard. So, yeah, I guess it depends on, I don't know, what you're looking for. Or, you know, there a lot of the reviews that we're going to do are still, they're going to be a perception. Everybody's going to have a different taste. So you can go on our reviews, but you're only going to get, obviously in this case, you might get a better idea of what you're looking for, but everybody's going to have their own opinions of whatever it is they're drinking anyway. And somebody might like the Harpoon, and I'm sure you'll get an email if that's the case.
You know what's sad? Like, I literally have all six bottles sitting in front of me. And the only one that is like 3/4 of the way full is the Harpoon, and the other quarter is sitting in the glass that I poured it in.
Maybe we ought to offer up that and the remnants of my overproof rum to some lucky listener.
Lucky listener gets the spit bucket. Yay! So wait, how many beers have you had?
And these are on his fingers.
Earlier,
I don't know. Since
like six.
Shit.
Wait, how many have I had since we started? Well, shit, Derek, you and I started like
we started early
at 9:15. Yeah. So it's 11:40. So in a couple hours.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nah, it would have been bad if like I had all these like within an hour. That would have been bad.
So you had finished most of them before we started recording?
No. Actually, the only one that I Actually, the only one that I think that I finished before we started was the Duck Rabbit.
Okay, so you had four, or you had five in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I had...
You didn't say there was going to be math.
Yeah, I know. I had three in that same period of time, and I'm a little tired. For Doug and Dave, this is Derek Shomer.
Both kakalaki.
And you've been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. Visit us at everydaydrinkers.com. If you want to leave comments, you can send us email at podcast@everydaydrinkers.com.
That's what Winter Warmer sucks.
No, harpoon. Harpoon tastes like cinnamon stick.
It totally does.
Come back now.
There you are.
Oh, I wonder if it's this fucking analog connection. Just let me know when it happens so I can pop it out and put it back in until they fucking fix this bug.
But I would like to know if you could possibly work in any other potential butt rape reference.
Did I use a butt rape reference? Said.
No, but I mean everything that you're saying was leading up to a butt rape.
Oh, was it? I didn't even notice. It's so natural to me. Okay, what do I...
I'm your... And I also try... I would like to work in cock slap.
Cock slap the Mona Lisa?
Yeah, into this podcast.
I could try it.
Is this like that Kevin Bacon game or something where you have to go 7 degrees of...
No.
7 degrees.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to use my awesome beer opener to open my beer. This is gonna. I got one of those punch down ones. You ever see those? They have them on Dignation, and you can get them on Everyday Drinkers. The ones where you pop it.
It's pretty cool.
It's a big metal thing. You stick it on top, and you slam it down, and it pops the top off. I'm curious to see if it's gonna work on the Winter Welcome because it's all coated in that gold seal.
Oh yeah. No shit.
Negative.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on a second here. In the
break the top off.
No,
this isn't gonna be like one of those stories where it's like, okay, I was in the shower and it slipped, and that's how it got up my ass.
Hold on a second. I'm gonna do a second round. I'm gonna try this bottle opener this time on a real bottle. This one's gonna be a Woodstock Inn Brewery Red Rack Ale. Let's see if I can get it on the first hit. Fuck. Oh no, I got it. At first, I didn't think I did, but it was just kind of sitting on the top.
That ought to be the soundbite for their commercial, actually. Did you fuck?
Hold on. Oh, shit.
What'd you do?
It came out my nose.
Oh. So you didn't lose your shit? No. Oh.
I got no Kleenexes up here. God damn it.
Wipe it on your pants.
I'll be right back.
All right.
Give me a minute.
Yes. Fuck. Until you throw up on a strawberry blonde or cherry wheat, you haven't lived. Because what comes...
Interesting criteria is for enjoying life.
Right. Fuck. I'm sorry, doctor. I don't know how the duck rabbit got in my ass. I'm a beer lover.
Oh, Jesus.
Fuck. Is it too much alcohol? Does it taste too spicy?
Poopy is a technical term that's derived from the Latin poop.
Oh, sorry. Shit.
The poopay.
Oh, that never mind. That covers it all.
The poopatitis.
Fuck.
So I'm guessing that the no accent thing is probably the way to go from here on out.
Oh, so I got the duck rabbit. Miracle rabbit. It's dark like a stout. It's like a dark stout. It was quite heavy. It was kind of like molasses dropping into my glass. And it was 90% alcohol content, which means that, you know, you're going to get fucked up.
Fuck.
I am way more coherent than at the end of the Merlot. Wait a second.
Oh my
god. Did I do my review?
Yeah, the Merlot, one.
That got pretty ugly, I have to admit.
Well,
and I'll say that if you listen to the Merlot episode, I sound so fucking together, and it's all because of Luke.
Oh, yeah, because he cuts it all.
He
cuts
totally
out all.
He edited me in such a way that I sounded coherent through the whole thing. You didn't have me at the end of it going, wait a second, did I do my review?
I remember that. You were like, well, let me do my review. No, you're done. What?
And that's the level of professionalism we have.
Oh, that's awesome. I never even thought of that because I listened to the whole thing. I mean, we had half of it was outtakes, and still you sounded good. I mean, there was a few things we made fun of you for, but that was about it.
Zinfandel?
Yeah, a couple times on that one.
Fucking A.